We're going to have our Bible reading now for this morning, and Samuel. Samuel's going to come and read it for us. Thank you.
Good morning. The Bible reading this morning is from the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 9 to 19. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby now we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and in he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in the love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Thank you.
Do take your seats, and it's my pleasure to hand over to Daniel, who's going to come and bring God's word to you.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's my privilege to stand here to bring God's words to you. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege we have to gather before you this morning. We are gathered on today to receive from you. Lord, send your word. Satisfy our heart desire. Help us, O God, to understand your thoughts this morning. Bless every hearer. Transform our lives in the name of Jesus. Take all the glory. Thank you and thank you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. It's my privilege again, to bring God's word. And I'm sharing this morning on what is captioned, Walking in God's Love. Amen. Now, I begin by saying that you are very special to God. You are special to God. You are highly valuable to God. Regardless. Amen. You are very valuable to God. You are very special in the sight of God. God is mindful of you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, God is mindful of you. Please don't ever forget that. We often forget that we are special beings in the sight of God. God loves you. You are the apple of his eyes. You are the object of his focus. He loves you regardless what you are going through. His love is boundless. His love is everlasting. His love is undying. His love for you is so deep. We need to have a personal revelation of God's love to maximize or obtain all that God has in stock for us. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. God's love for us is superior to all we go through. It's superior to our mistakes. It's superior to our imperfection. It's superior to our limitations. God's love is stronger than our fears. His love is stronger than our pain. His love is stronger than every challenge we go through. Amen. Amen. You are indeed special and peculiar. I'm going somewhere this morning. We'll get there together in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, it's very, very important to understand that no one can fully understand God's love without the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person who reveals to us the depth, the height, the width of God's love. And I pray this morning the Holy Ghost will help us to have an understanding in the name of Jesus. Now, in the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, I read from here. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, see how much the Father has loved us. His love is so great that we are called God's children. See how the Father has loved us. His love for us is so great that we are called God's children. In fact, indeed, we are his children. This is why the world does not know us. He has known us. Praise the Lord. God's love is so deep. Until you have personal revelation of this love, we can't fully optimize it. From the book we read this morning that Samuel wrote for us, 1 John 4, verse 9 and verse 10. He says, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because this that God sent his only begotten Son into this world, that we might live through him. Verse 10, wherein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. In Romans chapter 8, chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, God has shown us his love. While we yet sinners, he died for us. Christ died for us. While we yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord. Now, God is a committed lover. We must have a personal revelation of his person. He loves us unconditionally. He loved us even when we're sinners. He loved us even when we're in him. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, where am I going to this morning? How does God want us to be loved? How do we love God? How is God loved? What does he want from us as God? He's a lover. How do we respond to that love? Love is what the word of love is when it's reciprocated. Until love is responded to, the value cannot be optimized. Yes, it's one thing for God to love us, but do we love him the same way he wants to be loved? God loves us unconditionally. But how do we respond to it? What does he want from us? God wants our heart. God wants our heart. He wants us to respond to him by giving him our heart. God wants your heart. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said something. He said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart. The Almighty God wants to be loved by you. He wants your heart to be given to him. He wants your love back. The Almighty God wants our love. He loves us, but then also we must respond to that love. He loves us, but that love cannot be optimized until we respond to his love. We respond to his love by giving him our heart. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. Bible says, "My son, give me your heart. My son, I need your heart. My son, I want to be loved. My son, I want your heart to beat in consonance with mine. I want you to love me back. I love you, but I need you to respond to that love. I need your heart. I need you to commit your heart to me. Let your heart fit into mine. Let your heart beat in consonance with my heart. Let us have an affair. Let us have a love walk. Walk with me. Yes, I love you, but I can't do much for you. I have so much in stock. I have so much in stock. I'm worth so much. There's so much in redemption. But that can be limited until we respond to his love, until we give back to him our heart. My son, give me your heart. Let your eyes delight in my ways. Praise the Lord. God will not take our heart. It is up to us to give it to him. Until we give our heart to him, God will not take it. The heart must be given to God willingly, joyfully, consciously. We must come to that point where we give our hearts to God. God needs the heart to express the fullness of his love through us. I pray the Lord will give us understanding. It is risky, therefore, to have a heart not given to God. I need to say this here. Our heart is so precious. That's the most precious possession we have. God wants it. And if it's not given to God, something else will occupy it. A heart not given to God will be taken by something else. A heart not yielded to God will be possessed by something else. Something else occupies a heart that is not given to God. There's no vacuum in the spirit realm. A heart of man that is not given to God will be taken over by something else. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3. The Bible says, Solomon loved the Lord. A young boy, Solomon, a teenager, the Bible said he loved the Lord. His heart was given over to God. And God began to manifest through Solomon in Jerusalem. He began to manifest in him in mighty ways. He began to help him to rule Israel. He helped him to build a temple. As long as his heart was in consonance with God, Solomon loved the Lord. And God could manifest through Solomon. God could do things through Solomon. God could manifest his goodness through Solomon. Amen. He built a temple. I read in the Bible, dedication of the temple. Solomon rose and stood in the temple and began to pray. And God's presence came down and filled the whole temple. As long as his heart was given to God, God could manifest through that heart. Amen. But 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, something happened. The Bible says Solomon loved many strange women. He had removed his heart from God. He had stopped loving God. Something else had taken over his heart. And Solomon that once loved the Lord, Solomon that once carried God's presence, began to build temples for idols. The devil took over his heart because he stopped loving the Lord. There's no vacuum. Any heart that is not given to God, something else will take it over. Something else will rule that individual. The heart of a man is created by God to love him. God wants the fullness of our hearts. God wants us to be sold out to him. God wants to find expressions through us in this world space. Check scripture. Everywhere you find God manifest through scripture is always through a human heart that is sold out to him. Check all through scripture. Every time you see God do something good, something massive, something magnificent, it's always through a heart that is yielded to him. As long as a man's heart is in love with God, he gives God the room and the platform to manifest his goodness through us, in us, for us. Praise the Lord. Solomon stopped loving the Lord and something else took him over. Solomon that wrote wonderful books, Solomon that prayed and God's presence came down in the temple, began to do filthy things, began to do evil things in the same space, in his own time. God left him and evil took over. I read in scripture, he began to build evil temples for the women he loved. And he began to worship demons. The same Solomon that once loved the Lord began to crave after things that are filthy. That will not be us in the name of Jesus. My son, give me your heart. God needs the heart. God needs your heart. That's my message this morning. He needs the heart. He needs your heart. He needs your heart. He wants your heart to beat for him. He wants your heart to pant after him. He wants us to be sold out to him. He wants to have an affair with you, a private affair with us, where he can relate with us, where he can do things to us. He wants you and him to be the same consonants. Why the heart? Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence. From out of it flows the springs of life. And that version says, out of the heart, for everything you do flows from it. Another version says, for it determines the course of your life. Another version says, for out of it are the issues of life. All that you are is represented in your heart. All of what you are worth is in your heart. All of who you are is in your heart. The heart is the core of who you are. It's the part of you that God has designed to fit perfectly into him. That's where God fits in the human life, the heart. The heart is where God fuses, man and how God fuses together, the heart. And that's where our life flows out from. He won't take it from you until you give it to him. The devil can hijack it. The devil can possess it. But God will never, never touch it except you give it to him. My son, give me your heart. My son, respond to my, I love you, my son, but I can't force you. I've given you the will and the choice to make. Rather, choose me. Come to me. Give me your heart. As long as Solomon was in that love with God, God could do great things through him. And when he said, no, it's time for me to do my own thing. I want to have pleasure. I want to do my own will. I don't want your will anymore. And God left him alone. And Solomon became the defiled man. How do I give my heart to God? Is the question this morning. It's not an assumption. I tell people, to give your heart to God is a conscious thing you do. It's a conscious thing. There must be a date. There must be a time. Lord, from today, I give you my heart. Lord, from today, as long as I live in this world, you are my number one. I declare you as my Lord. You rule my soul from today. There must be a day every Christian must come to where you say, today, Lord, from today till I leave this world, I give you my heart. After confessing Christ as Lord and Savior, everyone must come to that point where you dedicate your heart to him. I live for you, Lord, till I die. You are my number one. You become my priority. You are the reason I will live till I leave this world. There must be that commitment in every Christian. For everyone who comes to Jesus must come to that point in time in his life, or our life. Yeah, even if the devil knows that you are sold out to him. You become superior to everything I do. You are the reason for my life from today to the end of this world. Are there not Christians who prefer their wives to God? I've met quite some. There are Christians who prefer their husbands to God. There are Christians who prefer their children to God. Christians who celebrate their clubs and they can't celebrate God. Christians who exalt their business above God. They are believers. They are born again. They know Jesus. But their business is far above God in their heart. It's their priority. God is secondary. No. No. God will never be a second fiddle in anyone's life. God will never be second. He must be number one. If you want to see God manifest, give him his place. Let it be very clear. There's no one competing with you in my heart. Then you find God at work. And that's why God is not moving in many lives. Because God is not first. God is not a priority in many lives. They are in church. They pray. They sing. They know God. But when it comes to life issues, God is number three. God can be number four. And God will never touch whatever is not given to him. Or where he's not being made supreme. He doesn't compete. He doesn't contest. He must take his place. Or else he leaves you alone. That's the God we serve. He's number one. Never number two. You want God to move in your life. You want to see his glory. You want to see his power. You want to see fulfillment of his will in your life. And through you. Then God must take the prominent place. Or else he folds his hands and watches you struggle. That will not be you. And that will not be me. In the name of Jesus. No one can love God with energy of the flesh. Never. Having made that decision, something happens in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in to give us the grace to love the Lord. When the Lord sees you are ready for him, he gives you grace to love him. The love is powered by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Love is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. No one can love God without the help of the Spirit. But it starts with you showing willingness. It starts with me showing that willingness. Telling him he's superior, he's supreme. I love you, Lord. I'm committed to working with you till I leave this world. You are number one. You are above my business. You are above my family. You are above everything else in my life. Number one. Everything else, number two. Holy Ghost comes in to help you enjoy that love walk. And that becomes a super journey of blessings. That's how God designed us to live as Christians. Question this morning, who is number one? Who is the number one of your life? Who is the supreme being that rules your affair? Who have you submitted your life to? Is it your business? Is it your career? Some is their own personal body. Check your budget to give a clue to who is your God. Check the budget, how you spend your money. Check it. Check your affection. Check what you are not ashamed of. Check what excites you the most. It could be a clue to who is your God. If God is your God, it will show in your daily choices. To show in my daily choices. God will never be a second fiddle. He will never be the second place. He never takes a second place. Never. 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 He will never take a second seat in anyone's life. He's either first or he will not show up. You want God to show up, manifest in your life, then make him number one. That is how God sees love, by our choices. Amen. When you yield your heart to God in love, then he finds a platform through which he can manifest himself. That's all God needs. And that is what he wants to do. When he finds a heart yielded to him, he finds a platform to manifest in this world. He can do anything through a man who is sold out to him. He moves. Check all scripture. Every time you see God walk, he's always hosted by a heart sold out to God. Praise the Lord. I begin to wrap up this morning as I narrow down to how do I walk in love with God? A heart that is given to God, we love people. It's possible to mechanize loving people. I see that a lot. People try to be nice. They act to be nice. Inside them, they don't want to be nice. They don't want to treat people well. They struggle to do it. A heart sold out to God will not struggle. If you truly love the Lord, it will be easy for you to love your neighbor. Love God with all your heart, then love your neighbor becomes a cheap thing to do. A man, a woman that truly loves the Lord, a man who God rules, will love people effortlessly. He will genuinely treat people right. And that begins with your family members, your spouse, your children, relative, flows to members of the church, and it goes to non-members of the church. A man that truly loves the Lord will love people genuinely. Genuinely. In 1 John 4, verse 11 and 12, where Simon read this morning, it says, beloved, if God is so loved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If God so loved us, then by default, we should love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And he is love. His love is perfected in us. A man or a woman that loves the Lord, we enjoy to help others. You will treat others right. You will love neighbors as yourself. You will be patient and kind and considerate to others. We will show empathy. We'll be willing to go the extra mile for somebody else's well-being. It was this love that drove Jesus to the cross. It was the love he had for the Father that overflowed to help mankind. He went to the cross because the Father was number one. At Gethsemane, he prayed, Lord, not my will, but your will. I've made you my priority. I will have loved to enjoy life like every other man, but I have already made a commitment that you are my number one. It's not what I want that matters now, but what you want. I will go to the cross. Okay? And that he did for you. So loving God, amen, gives us the platform to truly love people. And that's why Christ went to the cross. If you love your neighbor, you will not judge them. So loving your neighbor entails you not being judgmental. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not. It takes a heart sold out to God that will not judge. We live in a very judgmental world. People judge, which is a job to judgment, without knowing the true issues going on in people's lives. Love will be considerate. You will not be quick to judge, or you will not judge at all. Loving your neighbor means you are not judgmental. It equally means you are quick to forgive the trespasses of others. A man who loves the Lord will find it easy to forgive. There are wives who find it hard to forgive their husbands Husbands who find it very hard to forgive their wives. Children who find it very hard to forgive their parents. Students find it hard to forgive some teachers. They find it hard because their heart is still far from God. A man whose heart is given to God will find it very, very easy to forgive. Don't forget, I told you, when the heart is given to God, the Holy Spirit gives you grace to walk in love. There is a power beyond you, beyond a man, and it's from the Holy Ghost that helps you to walk in love. It becomes easy to walk in forgiveness. Just as God has forgiven you, you also will forgive others because your heart is given over to God. If you are struggling to forgive, then check. God may not be your priority. Something else may be at the throne of your heart. If you are struggling to forgive what somebody did against you, reprioritize your life, then forgiveness will flow easily. If God is number one, forgiveness becomes very, very easy because the Holy Spirit will help you to do the same. If you love the Lord, you will love others. It will be a pleasure for you to preach the gospel. You will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. You will not keep the truth from your neighbor that hasn't understood what Jesus did at Calvary. You'll be proud to find a way to reach out to the lost around you. You can't love the Lord and keep mute watching somebody going to hell. Never. Somehow, some way you will find the platform to reach out to the lost. That friend that you know doesn't know Jesus. He doesn't know Jesus because he doesn't know the truth. He doesn't know the gospel. You know the Lord. He is your priority. You will not watch your friend slip down to darkness. Never. You will give him the opportunity to hear the truth in a very polite way. Amen. It's hard to say you love the Lord and you love people and you hold back the truth from them. No. A man who loves the Lord will find every opportunity he has to share the gospel. I'm beginning to wrap up prayer. Romans chapter 11, chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. I'm not ashamed. I'm too in love with this God to be ashamed to talk about him. When you're in love, you are not ashamed of who you are in love with. Never. No matter what people think of the person, as long as you love him, you are not ashamed. As long as you're in love with her, you are not ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. I'm sold out. My heart is sold out to him. I will preach. I will talk about him to those who want to hear me. Amen. Don't keep quiet. Find a way to share the gospel of Jesus. That is love. It will be easy for you to intercede, like the intercessor said this morning. It takes love to intercede. Intercession demands love. Without love, there is no intercessory. You can never intercede in prayer without a heart of love. You need to empathize. You need to get into the shoes, into the pain, into the situation of somebody else to pray appropriately. Every intercessory prayer that is effective is on a platform of love. It's a sacrifice. You need to empathize. And that happens when your heart is given over to God. It becomes easy to intercede for our friends. Have you seen a mother pray for the child? She prays with all her heart because she loves that child. She prays and weeps. She prays and screams. She prays heart out. It's coming from a heart of love. Then to do that for your friend, you need to love him or her. And that comes by loving the Lord. That comes by loving the Lord. If I love the Lord, what will happen? God will manifest himself to you, through you, and for you. God needs a heart that loves him to find expression in this world. God would never be visible without a heart of love. God becomes visible in this world through hearts that are sold out to Him all the time. So when you become a lover, then you become a platform to manifest the goodness of God. You become a platform to host the glory of God. You become a vessel of His power. You become a vessel that touches lives. You become a vessel that promotes His will on the earth. And that is one of the benefits of loving the Lord. Those who love the Lord enjoy deliverance from trouble. God never abandons His lovers. Never. Check all through Scripture. God never abandons His lovers. He will deliver you in trouble. Psalm 91, verse 14. He always delivers His lovers. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were His lovers of God. They withstood the Nebuchadnezzar. No king will not bow to your idol. If we die, we'll die. But we'll stand with Jehovah. He's our priority. Yes, you're a great king, but there's a king higher than your king, than you, king, and he's our God. We will not bow. We have given our hearts to Him. If we perish, we perish. God said, no, you can't perish. I rescue my lovers. That was why He came to the furnace. Amen. That's why He came to the furnace. He always turned with His lovers. And in life, we'll go through things. Trouble will come. Days will come where you've been in a narrow way, where there's no help. Only God can bring you out of it. Those days, God will show up as a lover and bring you out. God never abandons His lovers. Never. 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 Somebody's here today. You are going through something that you need help. I see God helping you in the name of Jesus. You are crying, Lord, when? Lord, help me. Yes, He will help you. He helps men. But love commit Him to helping men. Thank you. And lastly, I want to speak to those who are young, who listen to this message hereafter, or who is here today. Please give your heart to God early. Give your heart to God early before the corruption of this world overtakes our heart. Satan is hunting for hearts because he needs those hearts also to manifest his wickedness and evil and perversions. He always needs hearts of young men to capture them early, to use them all through their lifetime for all kinds of evil. But a wise child, a wise person, hands over his heart to God. Lord, I don't know what the future holds, but I know you can take care of my heart. I give you my heart. I make a commitment today. As long as I live for you. That heart will be saved, and God will do great things to that individual. Everyone here, please, I plead with you. Don't leave your heart to chance. Don't leave it to chance. Hand it over to God. No matter our age, hand over your heart to God. It's a commitment. You must come to that point in your walk with God. Today, 8th of September, in your private room, in your privacy, it doesn't have to be something anybody sees. It's still between you and God. I choose you as my lover. Till I leave this world, you are my priority. I don't care what anybody says or does. I don't care who laughs at me or not. I don't care what it's going to cost me. But Lord, I trust you. I choose you as my number one. Till I leave this world, you are my God. Then God takes over from there. And the love affair starts from there. Amen. Thank you very much. And you are here this morning. You are not yet born again. I can pray with you. You can start a walk with God today. Bible says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. For whosoever shall believe in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a choice. It begins with you coming to Jesus. You may have been in church for years, but are you sure you are in Christ? Are you sure He is the Savior of your soul? You can make that commitment today. I'd like everyone to bow his head or her head. I don't know if it's right. But I think we can pray that prayer right now. Just for you to be sure, you can put your heart, your right hand on your chest and say these prayers with me. Then God will come into your heart and the journey will begin today. In case you have not trusted God as your Lord and Savior, say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I choose you. You died for me on the cross of Calvary, and on the third day you rose again. From today, I make a commitment to receive you. I declare I'm a child of God. I'll walk with God all my days. Write my names in the book of life. I'm interested, Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you, Derek. Thank you for the privilege, church. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, well, thank you, Daniel. A very clear message for us this morning about giving our heart to Jesus, making him number one in our life. So thank you for that challenge and encouragement as well, reminding us, of course, that we are loved by God as well. Father God, we do indeed marvel and wonder at the height and length and depth and width of your love for us. A love that is cross-shaped. A dying love for us. And Lord, we hear your call this morning to give you our heart. Lord, would you help us to respond? Would you give us your Spirit to be at work in our hearts, that we might give them over to you? And Lord, we bless you for your amazing love for us. Help us to walk in love with you, and for one another, and for those who are hurting around us. So we bless you, Lord. Thank you for this time we've shared together. And we just offer ourselves to you as we go through another week. Lord, would you walk with us and help us to walk with you, that we might bring something of your love to those around us, that we might be a blessing as you work through us. So we offer you our praise, Lord. We offer you ourselves. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.